morning, everyone. Glad to see you. Glad to see you. A lot of people told me this morning they're tired. Days like this that just makes you want to be tired, right? And stay in bed all morning. So, but we're glad you're here. Glad to see you all on this wonderful Sunday. Just want to draw your attention to the bulletins that you were handed. Hopefully you'll take a look at those, not only today, but even throughout the week, so you understand what's happening here and just some things that you can get involved in the fellowship, in the church. Unbelievably, but next week is Mother's Day, so I wanted to remind everyone, especially the guys, get your mothers a card. You know how we forget to do that. Don't forget to get your spouse a card if she's a mother as well. We're going to celebrate Mother's Day next week, and we're going to do our fellowship breakfast that we do each and every month, so we're going to do it on Mother's Day. So if you want to get here a little bit early, should start around 8:45, and we'll enjoy a meal together and breakfast together, and then celebrate mothers, as we always do. Other things that are happening there are certainly on the bulletin. You can also find all these things on our website, so I do encourage you to visit there and check things out. If you would open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 2, that's where we are this morning. We are in Acts chapter 2. We'll be picking up right around verse 37, and hopefully get through the rest of the chapter this morning. So Acts chapter 2. If you have need of a Bible, as always, just simply raise a hand. One will be handed to you. If you need one, we want you to follow along with us. Acts chapter 2. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to wake us up and give us attentive ears and hearts to receive His truth. Father, we come to You this morning. On this gloomy morning, Lord, just being able to sing of Your praises, be able to sing of Your return, to sing of how important You are to us and how much You love us and how much we love You. And God, I do pray that these are not just simple worship songs that we sing about You, but we're truly singing to You, and just our hearts would be lifted up. Lord, whatever is going on in our lives this morning, we want to put those things on pause as we come to You, Lord, with those needs and those desires. We want our lives to be filled with You and filled with joy and love, all the things of the Spirit. And as we are studying in Acts chapter 2 this morning, God, we just pray that the outpouring of Your Spirit would empower us and enable us to fulfill the purpose that You have for each and every one of us. Lord, You didn't save us by mistake or for no reason. You saved us so that we would be people of the Word, people of faith, people in the last days that have the Holy Spirit and have the power of the Holy Spirit within them. And we pray that the Spirit and Your Word would come out of us, Lord, and touch the lives of others. So if anyone here this morning is discouraged or down or anxious or stressed out or just even tired, God, I pray that all of those things would not be a distraction from Your truth. In fact, we pray that Your truth would revive us and raise us up to be a church that does the very things that we're going to read about this morning. Lord, we want to be a church that's active and that is involved in Your purposes. And so we ask Your blessings upon this time. We look forward to what You're going to speak to us. And we pray now that we are just ready to receive it. For it's in Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 2, as we get towards the end, very well-known area of Scripture. You know, Acts 2:42 describes the early church, the birth of the first church, the Spirit-filled church, as we've kind of picked up here late in this chapter. We've seen the outpouring of the Holy Spirit a few weeks ago. Last week, we talked about the change that happened in the life of the Apostle Peter and just his boldness and his confidence to share from the truths of what happened, why this outpouring was happening at this time, why the people in Jerusalem were hearing the greatness of God, the great works of God in their own language. And Peter was very confident, said, this is what God's word said, is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so as we get to this morning, I want to talk to all of us, myself included, in fulfilling your purpose. You know, you even heard it in my prayer. I mean, we each of us, every single one of us, because we have the Holy Spirit, has a job to do as Christians, to be people of faith, to be people of even this boldness that we talked about last week, to be bold in the things that we believe. And as I say that, if that brings a sense of anxiety to you, uncertainty, like, well, how could I be used by God? How could I don't even know that much necessarily about the Bible. See, here's the thing. You don't have to know so much about the Bible. You just have to know so much about the Bible that how the Bible has changed your life, how Jesus has impacted you. It's called a testimony, that transforming work of Christ that takes a heart that is hard and turns it into a heart of flesh. And a desire to live for him. So fulfilling our purpose, that's something I think is so important in the days that we live. To really be thinking about, okay, Lord, life's hard, isn't it? Life is not easy. Maybe for many of us, waking up feeling purposeless is a very frustrating place to be. Every day you wake up and go, another day. Another day at the office, another day whatever, at school, another day of life, the things that we have to deal with. You maybe look around and see other people full of joy and full of excitement, and you're thinking, why don't I have that? Well, we're going to see this morning that as Christians, as believers, we should have that. We should hold on to that. We should grasp that. We should actually want that in our lives. God has something good in store for you. Do you believe that? Amen. That God has something good in store for you. Jeremiah 29:11 is such a very popular verse. God has good thoughts towards us. God has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. It's a reminder this morning that your life matters. Even when you may look at it and go, I don't really feel like my life matters. I don't see God working. I don't see God moving. I was just talking to someone this morning, and it's just amazing to us that God will use our lives even when we don't know it. And that's really where faith has to engage, where we have to understand that God is going to use us whether we know it or not. The Bible says he wants us to bear fruit. I've always liked to remind myself, the fruit isn't for me. The fruit is for others to partake. And what they do with it and how they dispense of it or how they deal with it in their lives is their business. I just want to be the tree. I just want to be that one that's giving out fruit. And that's what I want us to think about this morning, that we're all fruit producers. that we're all these trees that are making ourselves available to others. Because what happens is we get so discouraged in life. We get so discouraged in the things that we're dealing with. That maybe even the choices that our friends make or our family members make, and we're just bogged down with it. Or maybe the choices that we've made, the consequences that we're having to live with. See, God forgives, but consequences remain. Amen? And those consequences, I believe, God can use if we will just not give up. No, God has something good in store for you. Never think he intends you to live a life of drudgery. I think sometimes as believers we think, oh, I'm a believer now. My life has ended. No, it's over. No, it's the abundant life that God says that we possess. The Bible is full of passages about joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength is one that I've always been fond of. One of our church verses, rejoice always. That's the verse. Rejoice always. Two words. Do we do that? No, we don't. No, we don't. But we should, because the Bible is filled with it. It doesn't mean that our overall life will be filled with joy all the time. No, there's going to be hard times that happen. In fact, the psalmist says it this way, because you have become my help, speaking of God, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. Because God has been his help, he will rejoice. See, we are so living in the present and in the future, forgetting about the past that God has protected us from and taken us through. We should be able to rejoice today in the things that God has done in our lives. See, this is, to me, this is a mindset. Because you have helped me, I will rejoice. Is that your mindset this morning? A life of rejoicing, a life of happiness, of joy. I mean, do you love to laugh? Do you love to just have that joy overwhelming in your heart? That's what we want, right? And if we in the church are not the joyous people that we should be, how pathetic are we? If the world is more joyful than we are. Because to me, the world should be having as much fun as it can now, because at the end of it, it's done. We should be having joy now and knowing the greater joy is yet to come. That is encouraging to me. How can you get to this place of living in joy? Instead of wandering aimlessly through life, you are actually living with joy. How do you get to that place? Well, I think John Piper puts it this way: the pursuit of joy in God is not optional. I'm going to read that again. The pursuit of joy in God is not optional. It is not an extra that a person might grow into after he comes to faith. See, we shouldn't be waiting for joy to come to us. We should be pursuing that joy. We should be instigating that joy, being a part of that, bringing joy to people's lives. When's the last time you were someone that brought joy to someone else's life because you've been filled with so much joy from God? It's that outflowing, it's that outpouring, right? Jesus said, torrents of living water will come out of you. I would love to see that in the spiritual realm. The rivers that are flowing through us as believers that are available to others. Psalm 16:11 says this: in your presence is fullness of joy. Think about that. In God's presence is fullness of joy. If you're here this morning and you lack joy, then you just need to get in the presence of God. You need to get in the presence of His Word. You need to get in the presence of other believers that are joyful, joyful believers, because in His presence is fullness of joy. Listen, life is always going to be tough, but you should have a sense of joy that fills every single one of your days, every single thing that you deal with in your life, at work, in your relationship, joy. Because joy, I believe, is a choice. I believe joy is a choice. And I believe that if we tell ourselves time and time again, well, I don't have what I want, I don't feel the way I should, if you keep telling yourself that, guess what? You're going to stay there. If you can start focusing on the joy of the Lord and the joy and the goodness of God, it'll change your thinking and it'll change, I believe, your personality. What is the one thing you're passionate about? I'm asking you that this morning. What's the one thing you're passionate about? I mean, It could be music. It could be a business that you're passionate about, art, economics, whatever it is. What is it you're passionate about? What is it you think about? What is it you would love to do? And I wrote this down here. It says, if money wasn't an issue, what would you love to do? Do you have something? I want you to think of it. If there was one thing that you are passionate about, what would that be? Now, I'm asking you this question. What are you doing with that? Are you just waiting for it to come to you, or are you pursuing it? Are you taking steps and actions to do that? I mean, certainly I talked to some of the younger generation. You got your whole life in front of you. What you're passionate about, pursue that. I'm past pursuing it almost, it seems, in my life. Although my wife did share a verse in Psalm 91 that I'm going to live a long life, so I should continue to pursue, shouldn't I? Pursue it, guys. Your passions can help determine what God has called you to do. Because I believe those passions were given to you by God. If they're God-given, I mean, if it isn't something that you've just fascinated in your life, that you've manufactured in your own life, if it is truly something that you are designed to be, I think you should pursue it. It's often said, let me make sure I get the right one. Yes. It's often been said, God works at the intersection of our gifts and our passions. Where you are gifted and where you are passionate, at that intersection, that's where God's going to use you. That's where God's going to work you. What is your purpose? And are you fulfilling that purpose, that passion? When I was a kid, I was one of those kids that I did odd jobs as a kid. You know, I lived in Rochester, New York, so I shoveled driveways. Thank God for my dad buying a snowblower. That made it a lot easier. Clear driveways with snow, rake leaves, cut lawns. You do things to make money, right? Listen, I'm not a landscaper today because I loved cutting grass. I did it because I wanted some money. So maybe you today are stuck in a job because you're just doing a job to make some money. But there's something inside of you that is a passion that you would really love to do. I encourage you to put that at the foot of the cross. I encourage you to place that in God's hands. Say, Lord, if this is something you want in my life, then begin to bring it to pass. I think God will do it. Fulfilling your purpose. Where do your gifts meet your passions? That may very well be the place that God has his purpose for you. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. I want to back up a little bit. Last week we ended at verse 39, but it's such a powerful area of scripture. We're going to back up to verse 37 and just look at this again, because as Peter was preaching, something powerful was happening. It says in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart." We talked about it last week. This is conviction. They were convicted of what they had done with Jesus. "And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Highlight that in your Bibles or in your apps or whatever it is. What a great question. They were convicted. They were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they were moved to say, "What shall we do?" There needs to be an action that happens in our lives. As Christians, we need to be mobile. We need to be moving, and we need to be asking this question, "What shall we do?" That's a question I think every believer should be asking God. "Lord, what do you want me to do today, right now, this moment?" Seeking those things. "What shall we do?" So it was a great opportunity for Peter. The people are asking, "What shall we do?" Verse 38, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" The very thing that they witnessed, they would receive it if they repented and were baptized. For verse 39, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." This offer is to every single person on the planet. We talked about that last week. Verse 40, "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Talk about a revival. Wow. I can't wait to get to heaven and see the footage of that. As Peter was telling them to repent and to be baptized, they were believing in Jesus, finally confessing their sin of killing Jesus, and confessing that, and then immediately go to be baptized. Which is such an amazing thing that today we are going to do a baptism. There's three people in our church that want to be baptized. Immediately after church, if you want to witness these three souls, confess their love for Jesus at the YMCA across the street, we invite you all to be there. Because there was a move in these people's hearts, and Peter says, "Repent of your sin, ask God for forgiveness, be baptized in Christ." And now listen, water baptism doesn't save you, and we'll talk about that this afternoon. The baptism wasn't what saved them. Jesus saved them. The water baptism was an outward expression of what happened in their hearts. And Peter says, "Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And 3,000 people give their lives to Christ. This is the birth of the New Testament church right here before our very eyes. What an amazing move of the Spirit. And even as I say this, and as we're reading this, if someone here is moved today to want to be baptized, it's not a closed invitation. We'll baptize every single person in this room if God wants to move that way. And I'm not kidding. If you feel moved to be baptized, because guys, the reality is we have to be moved. If I read this, "What shall we do?" And you are asking that question, "God, what do you want me to do?" Maybe there's someone in this room that's been a believer for many, many years, but you've never been water baptized. What a better opportunity for you. "Well, I didn't bring an extra pair of clothes. I'm going to go home in wet clothes." Better to be baptized in Christ and go home in wet clothes than to go home in dry clothes, not being baptized in Christ. Okay, advertisement's over. "With many other words," verse 40, this is where we're starting our Bible study tonight. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them. Peter, as powerfully as we read that last section last week, of all the things that Peter shared, he did so much more and shared so much more that we don't even have it recorded. And that's what moved these people. Notice it says that he testified of Christ because he witnessed Christ. He exhorted them. That word means to plead, to argue, to implore. Guys, there needs to be a revival in our hearts. Don't you agree? That there is a true desire in our hearts not to worry about the stuff we're going through, not to be held back with all the stuff and the things that are going on in our lives, but to be moved by the Spirit to testify and implore others about Jesus. I am so thankful that Jesus saved me. And there are times that I need to be sharing that with other people. I shared this a few weeks ago. There was a young girl at the coffee shop who found out I was a pastor. You remember, we had this conversation, and she asked me if one of the people in her business who's not a believer, if she should fire the person or let the person go. You know, she was being moved by the Spirit. She has texted me several times throughout the week since then because she knows I'm praying for her. Every now and again, I'll check in. How are things going? How's things going in your life? What's happening? And this last week, she had this amazing opportunity to have this meeting, have this phone call for their business. And I'm not going to remember the guy's name that invited her to their ministry to kind of encourage the woman. And she just saw it as God's opportunity of an open door for her. It was an amazing blessing for her business. And she was so excited to share that. And I just sit there and I read this text and I go, thank you, Lord, for making me available to encourage this person. And that's really the key. She's all excited about what God is doing. In the last text, I could even show it to you, it says, God is so good. She's on fire right now for the things that God is doing in her life. And it reminds me that I need to be excited about the things that God is doing in my life. You need to be excited about the things God is doing in your life. To fulfill your purpose starts by just thanking God for what he's done in your life. That is what we are to do as believers. To be excited about what Jesus has done. Because when God moves in your life, it's a miraculous thing, don't you think? When God shows up in a powerful way, that's something that you're like, wow, look what God did. It's so amazing. Don't hold that back. Don't keep that to yourself. Let other people know about it. That's what Peter is saying. Repent, be baptized, and let everybody know. They immediately get saved and immediately get baptized. What an amazing thing this must have been. What an amazing sight. 3,000 people getting baptized. That must have been an amazing sight to see around Jerusalem. And to witness the power of God. I would imagine, it doesn't say it in our text, but I would imagine Peter must have been in awe of what God did. I would imagine Peter standing there going, I can't believe I quoted all those scriptures. I can't believe I said a lot of things that I said. I can't believe I convicted them. You're the ones that crucified Christ. And yet here they are going, what should we do? Get baptized. Let's do it right now. Peter must have been blown away. And that's, my friends, I think the desire that we want to have as we read the book of Acts. Please, I pray, let it change our lives. Let it change your life. Let it change the church. Let it change your workplace. Let it change your home life. Because these are amazing things that are happening, and these are the things that the early church would experience on a regular basis. And I don't believe God's done doing that today. I think he still wants to use us. And I still think you have a purpose. Seek God. I was talking to someone just this morning over coffee. We were talking about their relationships and their desire in their life. And they're like, no, I'm good with whatever God wants. And I asked them, I said, have you actually asked God for what he wants? Have you actually said, Lord, this is what I want. Is this what you want for me? Because I think sometimes we mentally check out when we don't get what we want. We think, well, then it must be God doesn't want me to have it. No, I think God wants to have a conversation with you about it. I think God wants you to talk to him about it. To have that understanding of what he wants to do. So, again, what's your passion? Give it to God. Be moved by the Spirit. Watch what God does as he just amazingly does this. Now notice it says in verse 40 again, and with many other things and words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now in Peter's day, certainly this was the generation that crucified Christ. Talk about perverse, right? The word perverse means crooked. You know, I don't think we're too far off from living in a crooked generation ourselves, are we? How much we've seen God, the Bible, Jesus removed from our society. And it doesn't surprise me that we have troubles in our society. It doesn't surprise me that young teens struggle with anxiety and depression and a lack of self-worth. If we're going to take God out, we got to take the consequences for it. But I pray that we as the church don't take God out. And I do see that in the church. We're just trying to, we got to replace God and the Word with something else, because we got to entertain people. We got to have programs. We got to tickle those ears. We're not satisfied sitting in church for 30 minutes when it's so cold. Sorry, Pastor RJ. But this is what goes through our minds, isn't it? I feel as we're reading the book of Acts, we need to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? We're a small church filled with believers who love God, who love His Word. And I'm telling you, this small church has needs. This small church has openings, has opportunities for people to get involved. And I'm not talking about setting up coffee or watching the kids. I'm saying being moved by the Holy Spirit. Your gift, your talent, your passion should be being used for God in the church and out of the church to bless the church. So I'm asking you, because I'm praying, God, please, do in this church what you want to do. But I'm going to tell you straight. God isn't going to tell me what Jason needs to be doing with his faith, or Scott, or Pastor RJ, because I'm having a hard enough time figuring out what Pastor Rob's supposed to be doing with what God wants in him. It's your job to be seeking God, to use your gift and talents. I'm just afraid that there are gifts and talents sitting in the church, just sitting, not being used. So I'm encouraging you to be used, because this church needs to be unified in plan and purpose and direction. And the only way we can do that is everybody does their job. I cannot, and our staff cannot do everything. Most of you, I would hope, received the email, I'm going to talk about it a little bit later if I ever get there, about Benson and the things that Benson happened with Benson. So someone in the church had found out about Benson, and they texted me and said, hey, are we going to let the church know about Benson and what's going on with Benson? I said, no, that's a great idea. So they emailed up Sarah and Laylee and said, hey, can you get us some more information on what's going on with Benson so we can send it out to the church? So they did. They gave me the information. And then this person who had the idea said to me, so are you going to get that to the people that are going to be able to get that out to the church? I said, yeah, I'll get it to the people. And I said at the end of the text, I am the people. That's me. I sent that out through our system. I would love it if someone else would do that. And I share that because it's not like, I don't want to be sending out email. No, I'll do it. But see, my job is to study the Word of God, so that I can come here on Sunday mornings and teach you a message that encourages you, hopefully Spirit-led. That's my job. And Wednesday nights, teaching the Word of God. Because I don't think it's changed in all these years that God esteems His Word above His own name. That if we stay in the text, if we stay under the biblical teaching of the Word of God, our lives will change and hopefully be encouraged to do something. So that means I shouldn't be spending time on posting Instagram messages, so some Facebook things, putting Facebook events, all these things. All there's technology that's out there, all the things that the church could be doing. Classes. I'm not teaching any ladies' Bible study, I can tell you that right now. Anyhow, I'm way off my notes. But the reality is, guys, we are the body of Christ. And we need people to rise up and use their gifts and talents for the glory of God. Because that's what He wants us to do. Because that's a plan and a purpose. And for you to fulfill your purpose, at the end of the day, when we look back and say, ah, I'm serving the Lord. I'm being used by God. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 41. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. I love the fact that the Bible tells us that they gladly received the word. They gladly received His word. What Peter shared, the text that he said from the Old Testament, the conviction that they brought, they gladly received that. They said, convict us of our wrongs. I think a healthy Christian is one who's willing to say, I'm messed up on the inside and I need to be fixed. And the only thing that can do that is God's word and his spirit to change us. They gladly received it, and they were baptized that same day. Amazing revival. Amazing conviction. Many in this crowd, think about this, they were there for the festival of Pentecost. Many came to Jerusalem, got saved, got baptized. And now they're going to go back to their towns. They're going to go back to their homelands. And they're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This is what God did. He did. The timing of it is amazing. God's plan is so good that he pours it out upon all these people. 3,000 get saved. And now they're going to go back to their homes and their towns. And they're going to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not because of a Bible study. Not because of anything. But their lives were radically changed. And when our lives are radically changed by the word of God, we can't help but share it with others. When you see a good movie or go to a good restaurant, don't you tell your friends about it? I love getting recommendations of good movies and good restaurants. Because that's what, because you've been impacted by it. Are we being impacted by God? See, my prayer is that we're impacted on Sunday mornings, on Wednesday nights, as we teach the Bible, as the youth are being taught, and just different people being taught the word, but then we're going out and sharing that with others. That it should stir up a desire for us to want to study the word of God on our own. Doing devotions, reading the word, letting it impact us. Because that's what it was for these guys. They were impacted powerfully. Clock goes too fast. I'm going to read verse 42. We're going to partake of communion this morning as well. Verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among them all, as anyone had need." The reality is there must be unity in the body of Christ. There must be unity in the church. And the church is us, guys. The church is in this place. There aren't churches around town. We are the church, believers in Jesus Christ, believers in the truth. And there must be unity in our body. Must be unity in the bride of Christ, in the church itself. And that's what we're seeing here as the church is being born, that they continued steadfastly in these four things, in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and then prayers. And let me say this, because I'm going to end up talking about it again next week. The reality is, if you are sitting in this church today with discontentment, discouragement, anxiety, frustration, fear, any of these things, or any area of your life that is not right, one of these four things is out of balance. Because I do believe that these four things are necessary to be active and to be strong in every single person's life, if you're a believer. The apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teachings, the teachings of Christ, the word of God, that's the apostles' doctrine. It's not these guys' ideas, okay? It's not my ideas. It's the word of God. That has to be something that we work with, that we read it, we study it, we must remain it. Notice it says, they continued steadfastly. That means they were devoted and they were persistent in it. And maybe that is a frustration in our lives, isn't it? That maybe we, on Monday we do our devotion, on Tuesday we do our devotion, on Wednesday we're too busy because we're having breakfast, on what Thursday we're doing something, and that we don't stay committed to it, we don't stay devoted to it. Don't you hate that? When you're trying to be a good Christian and I just can't seem to get 10 minutes to do a devotion. Or maybe it's praying. Oh, you pray, you're a prayer warrior. You pray. People know me as a prayer warrior. Thank you so much, Pastor Rob, for praying for me. And when I know in my heart I never prayed for him. Hey, praise the Lord. Because you're so convicted. Hey, never prayed for you. Sorry. Glad God answered your prayer. But I'm telling you, these four things, it's like four legs on the chair you're sitting on. If I came over and cut one leg off, you might tip over. So remain in the Word of God. Fellowship. I can't stand it when believers tell me, well, I don't need to be around other believers. I don't need to come to church. You don't need it, but you're going to die without it. Because what if... You've heard this analogy before. You take a burning fire of hot coals and remove one coal out of the fire and it's going to go out. It's like fellowship. You're going to be on fire for God when you remain in fellowship. That's why we keep attendance on who comes to church on Sundays. Just kidding. No. People will ask me, how do I become a member of Calvary Chapel? We meet on Sundays and Wednesdays. Wednesdays. Show up. You're a member. God doesn't need, I don't need a membership. I don't need to be another thing to track. No, thank you. Breaking of bread, which we're going to do right now. Remembering what Jesus has done for us. Communion. He broke the bread. He gave thanks. He broke the bread. And he gave it to them. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And the breaking of bread. So that's why we do it consistently. Because I need to be reminded what Jesus did for me. On the daily. And then finally, in prayers, is better written in the prayers. It says, in the breaking of bread and in the prayers. It should be something that we're doing together, my friends. Praying together. I encourage you. And we have prayer counselors up here every single Sunday. And you know what? Sometimes they're up here, they're standing all by themselves, and then they leave because everybody's gone. No one came up for prayer. And if you don't need prayer in your life, praise God. I'm going to be up here every Sunday. Come up here because I got prayer requests I could give to you. I'll keep you busy. Prayers, in prayer. We need to be people that are praying and asking God. I love this definition of prayer. Prayer is dependence upon God. It's dependence upon God. I never thought about it like that. I come to God in prayer because I have something I want to thank him for. I have something I want to praise him for. I have something I want him to do in my life. And when I come to him, it means, I can't do it, God. I need you to do it. Guys, the reality is, this area of Scripture is so rich and so powerful that I believe this is where Calvary Chapels and Bible-believing churches hang their hat on. Because we need to consistently follow through these four things. Consistently. The last thing I want to share with you is about Benson. I thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. In the email that I sent out, I shared that Benson makes about $71 a month in his salary working at Lakai Timon. He was robbed and he was stabbed by a family member of someone who goes to the school. So they know who it is. Robbed him and stabbed him in between a couple of his ribs. It's hard to get the information, updated information. Susel doesn't see him all the time. Apparently he's doing a little bit better, but I just want you to know from the bottom of my heart, you guys donated about $500 to go to Benson. And that's gonna really impact this man. Because it didn't say it in the email, but the reality is Benson hasn't given his life to God yet. And for a body of believers to send resources to him because we heard about what he's going through, I believe will be a testimony to God. We love him. We are so thankful for him. In fact, this last missionary trip, I think Pastor RJ shared this, he was supposed to quit at the end of our missionary trip and not longer work at Lakai Timon. But God moved in his heart that time we were there, and he decided to stay. So thank you for doing that. Because the reality is, God moves in our hearts and reveals to us needs in other people's lives. Do you know why? So that God will move us to help. This church is willing to help. That's what the church does. Missionary-minded, help others. We certainly help those kids in Lakai Timon. But if you're going through something, do me a favor. Let us know what's going on. Number one, we want to pray for you. This isn't a free-for-all. I'm not paying everybody's bills. But I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to ask God how we can help and how we can assist. Do me also this favor. Don't wait till the last minute. We get calls on the daily, people saying, if you don't help me right now, my power is going off at noon. To which we have to respond, your power is probably going to go off at noon. We can't be moved by that. We have to spend time in prayer. We don't just meet needs. We got to pray about it. We got to ask God about it. We got to ask them what's going on in their lives. Why are they in the situation? So, if there's something going on in your life, we want to be a part of it. Let someone else know. This is not a shame thing. There's been times in my life where I've had to ask other people for help. There's nothing wrong with that. I find that to be a very mature thing to do. Because here's the thing. If you ask me for help and we pray about it and God answers it, look what we learned. God's able to meet those needs. Fulfilling your purpose starts by unifying together and walking together as a family, the family of God, the greatest family in all the earth. So we're going to pray right now. I'm going to ask the gentleman to bring the elements up. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. We're going to spend these last few moments in communion together, remembering what Jesus has done. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you, God, that as we read this text, we see a mighty move of your Spirit. We see conviction of the Spirit happen in the lives of those who actually took Jesus to the cross. The very ones that were probably crying out, crucify him, are now being moved in their hearts to become followers of Christ, a risen God, a living Lord. And Lord, it is so exciting to read in our Bibles of this great revival that so many people gave their lives to Christ. So many people got baptized in the name of Jesus. So many were going back to their homes to just share the truth of who Christ was, Savior of the world. And so we are so very, very thankful that we have the scriptures to read. But Lord, I pray that we would put these things into practice. That we would remain in the apostles' doctrine, remain in the word, that we would remain in fellowship, that we would continue to break bread in communion, and that we would be people that are known for prayer. And for that reason, we just give you thanks. And as we enter into this time of communion, remembering what you've done, Lord, if there's any needs in this room, I pray that they would be placed at your feet. Whether they're financial, whether they're emotional, spiritual, whatever they may be. And God, I pray for each and every person as they thought about their passions, as they thought about the thing in their life that would really bring them the great amount of joy. I pray, God, that you would reveal to them the path that lies before them, to take them to that passion. For we believe that a God-given passion will be a God-given anointing upon that passion. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you for teaching us. We pray as we spend this time in communion and worship that our hearts would be drawn towards you. And I pray there would not be one in this room, not one, God, that would not fully understand what is meant by the elements that we hold in our hands, the bread and the cup, the life that was given for us. If there is anyone here this morning who has not given their lives to Christ, I pray right now that they would say in their hearts, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. That small and simple prayer, but heartfelt prayer, God, will bring them into the family of God and secure their place in heaven. So let them enjoy this communion. Let them enjoy this time of remembering what their Savior has done for them. So bless us, we pray, during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.